other than conversations that you've had solely with your attorney, have you ever had any discussions with anyone, or have you ever received any communications that indicated that there had been any effort to go back and search email messages or files for purposes of this litigation?
No.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gates. Let me show you Government Exhibit 382. And I would ask you whether that is a document that you've ever seen before.
No.
There is a reference in this document to fiscal year 1998, WWSMM attendees. Do you see that?
Yes.
You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's the Worldwide Sales and Marketing Meeting, otherwise known as the WISM.
Did you attend the fiscal year 1998 WISM?
No, I don't attend that. I come in and speak usually at the end of it, but I don't attend it.
The subject matter of this is the fiscal year 1998 planning memo, quote, preserving the desktop paradise, close quote. Are you familiar with that?
I don't know what you mean, am I familiar with that? I know fiscal year 98.
Have you ever seen the fiscal year and the fiscal year 1998 planning memo?
The one from Brad Chase? No.
Have you seen a fiscal year 1998 planning memo from somebody else?
There's a lot of these. Each group writes planning memos. I'm not copied on most of them.
Are there planning memos from some of the groups that you recall receiving for fiscal year 1998?
I think there's a memo Steve wrote that was probably sent to me.
And by Steve, you're referring to Mr. Ballmer?
Yes.
In the third paragraph of this memo on the first page, it says, quote, our competitors are still hard at work trying to obsolete Windows. More people than ever now believe they will. Netscape and Sun endeavor to commoditize the OS. Do you know what is meant by commoditize the OS in this context?
In the context of this memo?
Yes.
I'd need to read the memo.
Have you ever heard anybody say that Netscape or Sun threatened to commoditize the operating system?
Yes.
Have you ever said that?
Those words?
Yes.
I don't think so.
When other people have said those words, what have you understood them to mean?
I think the first time I heard that was from Mark Andreessen, and I never had a chance to ask him what he meant.
Have you heard those words from people within Microsoft?
Subsequently to Andreessen using those words, I know they were repeated inside the company quite a bit.
Did you understand that some people within Microsoft were saying that they believed that Netscape or Sun were threatening to commoditize the operating system?
I don't know of anybody using that terminology before Andreessen did. I don't think it was used before he used it.
My question is not whether it was used before or after Mr. Andreessen's statement. My question is whether people within Microsoft communicated with you that they believed that Netscape or Sun threatened to commoditize the operating system.
It says Endeavor here. You're switching?
I was asking a question that was not necessarily tied to the document. My question is whether anyone within Microsoft told you that they believed that Netscape or Sun threatened to commoditize the operating system.
Those specific words?
Yes, the same words that we've been using in the last previous series of questions, Mr. Gates. Those words.
I think that most of the time people, when people use the words, those words, they were repeating what Andreessen had said.
My question is not what they meant most of the time or what they were doing most of the time. My question is whether people within Microsoft ever communicated to you that they believed that Netscape or Sun were threatening to commoditize the operating system.
They certainly communicated to me that Netscape was communicating that they were on a path to, in Netscape's words, commoditize the operating system.
Have you finished your answer?
Yes.
Now my question is whether anyone within Microsoft ever communicated to you that they believed that either Netscape or Sun were threatening to commoditize the operating system.
I think after Andreessen said it, some people suggested they agreed with Andreessen's sentiment that Netscape was trying to reduce Windows sales.
When people use the word with you, commoditize, as in the statement that Netscape was threatening or endeavoring to commoditize the operating system, what did you understand commoditize to mean?
That they were creating a product that would either reduce the value or eliminate demand for the Windows operating system if they continued to improve it and we didn't keep improving our product.
Did you have any other understanding of the term commoditize in that context?
Well, it was a word that was used to refer to Andreessen's comment.
Other than that, did you have any understanding of the meaning of the term commoditize in that context?
Other than those two things?
Yes.
No.
All right. Let me show you next a document that has been marked as Exhibit 383. This purports to be a email from Mr. Moritz to you and others with charts attached to it. Have you seen this email before?
I think Mr. Houck showed it to me.
You may be right in a sense, Mr. Gates, in the sense that I think that your counsel has produced to us various versions of documents. I do not believe that this particular version, which was produced to us stapled this way, was shown to you by Mr. Houck.
When you asked me whether I'd ever seen the email before, I wasn't referring to the way it was stapled.
But this happens to be have various charts attached to it. Have you ever seen this email with these charts attached to it?
Can I look back through the old exhibits?
Yes, you can. You can do whatever you want to answer the question. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to get your answer to this question with respect to Exhibit 383. If you need to look back at the other exhibit to answer this question, then you can do whatever you need to answer the question.
Well, I certainly do. You've asked me if I've ever seen something before, and I'm thinking maybe a previous exhibit had some or part of this, and therefore, to answer your question, I need to look at the exhibits to see if that's the case or not.
Let me see if I can move things along. Did you receive this email in or about January 1997? This email being a message from Paul Moritz to you and others dated January 5, 1997.
I don't remember receiving it, but I don't have any reason to doubt that it was sent.
Did you see this email at any time prior to the commencement of your deposition last week?
I don't remember seeing it.
The subject of this email is, quote, overview slides for Bill Gates' NC and Java session with 14 pluses on Monday. Do you see that?
Yes.
And I think you identified the 14 pluses as some group of executives, is that correct?
No.
What are the 14 pluses?
It's people above a certain level, primarily engineers. Also executives, but mostly engineers.
It's all the people in the company above a certain level, 14 level.
Which are mostly engineers, not executives.
How many people are there in the 14 pluses group?
It's a good question. I think around 200 to 300.
And these would be the people in the 200 or 300 top rated jobs in the company? Is that correct?
If top means the best compensation, yes.
Okay. Now, do you recall the slides that are attached to this email?
I remember when I testified earlier seeing these and seeing that I was pretty sure that I never presented these slides.
Do you recall whether someone else presented these slides in January of 1997?
I'm not sure. I remember looking at the slides and thinking, probably not.
Let me ask you to look at the third page of the exhibit, which is headed Key Platform Challenge. It is page 2 of the charts and page 3 of the exhibit, 383, in which it says NC and Java are platform challenges. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you believe in January of 1997 that Java was a platform challenge?
Not Java the language, but some of the Java runtime APIs that were being promoted to ISVs and the way that Sun and others were talking about enhancing them were platform challenges.
When reference is made here to Java, do you understand that to refer to what you refer to as Java runtime APIs?
I'm not sure.
Um, Are you aware of people asserting that Java runtime APIs were a platform challenge in or about January of 1997?
I just told you that we looked at what was going on in terms of the plans of Sun and other people with Java runtime APIs as being a platform challenge.
Are you aware of any other platform challenge represented by Java other than Java runtime APIs?
No.
So would it be fair to say that you believe that when reference is made here to Java, the reference means Java runtime APIs, since it asserts here that Java is a platform challenge?
It's the best way to make sense of a document that I hadn't seen until my deposition, as far as I know.
Okay. Let me show you a document. That has been marked as Exhibit 397. This purports to be a message to you and others from Brad Chase, dated March 13, 1997. Did you receive this message in or about March of 1997?
I don't remember receiving it. In fact, it's very strange that the email names aren't expanded, but I probably received it.
Let me go down to the third paragraph of the document. And the fifth sentence that says, quote, "Browser share needs to remain a key priority for our field and marketing efforts," close quote. You see that?
In the third paragraph?
Yes.
Okay, the third sentence of the third paragraph, yeah.
Were you told in or about March of 1997 that people within Microsoft believe that browser share needed to remain a key priority for your field and marketing efforts?
I don't remember being told that, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear that people are saying that.
Immediately before that sentence, there's a statement that Microsoft needs to continue its jihad next year. Do you see that?
No.
The sentence that says browser share needs to remain a key priority for our field and marketing efforts, the sentence right before that says we need to continue our jihad next year. That's the way it ends. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Now, I see it doesn't say Microsoft.
Well, when it says we there, do you understand that means something other than Microsoft, sir?
It could mean Brad Chase's group.
Well, this is a message from Brad Chase to you, Brad Silverberg, Paul Moritz, and Steve Ballmer, correct?
Yes, I say, it's strange. If this was a normal piece of email, it wouldn't print like this. I'm not aware of any way, maybe there is some way, that email ends up looking like this when you print it out.
I wasn't the one that was asserting it was an email. I don't know whether it's an email or whether it's a memo or what it is. All I know is that it was produced to us by Microsoft. The first line of it says, to, and the first name there is Brad S.I. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Does that refer to Brad Silverberg?
Usually you can use that shorthand in typing in someone's name, but when you print out email, it doesn't come out that way.
Do you believe that the reference here to Brad S.I. is a reference to Brad Silverberg, sir?
Yes.
Okay. The next addressee is Paul M.A. Do you believe that that is Paul Moritz?
Yes.
The next addressee is Steve B. Do you believe that that is Steve Ballmer?
Yes.
The next addressee is Bill G., and do you believe that that is yourself?
Yes.
And it says it's from Brad C., and do you believe that is Brad Chase?
Yes.
Now, when Brad Chase writes to you and the others, we need to continue our jihad next year. Do you understand that he is referring to Microsoft when he uses the word we?
No.
What do you think he means when he uses the word we?
I'm not sure.
Do you know what he means by jihad?
Yeah, I think he's referring to our vigorous efforts to make a superior product and to market that product.
Now, what he says in the next sentence is browser share needs to remain a key priority for our field and marketing efforts. Is that correct?
Yes.
The field and marketing efforts were not involved in product design or making an improved browser, were they, sir?
No.
Let me show you next a document that has been marked as Exhibit 384. I want you to look at the second message that is on this exhibit in the middle of the first page. Is a message from Steven Sanofsky. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And it is dated June 10, 1994. There is one name that it's hard to read on the copy that we were produced, but I don't believe that you were shown as receiving a copy of this exhibit, at least back in 1994. Have you seen this message before, sir?
Not before this lawsuit.
When did you first see it?
I think sometime during the course of the lawsuit.
That is sometime in the last 6 months?
That's right.
Have you discussed this with anyone in Microsoft other than your counsel?
Yeah, I think I had a short conversation with Mitch Matthews on the general topic. not on this specific message.
What was the general topic that you referred to?
The history of our decision to put browsing functionality into Windows.
There is a reference here to Chicago. And is that a reference to Windows?
It's a code name that was used for what became Windows 95.
The third paragraph of this email says, quote, "We do not currently plan on any other client software, especially something like Mosaic or Cello." Do you see that?
I see it.
You've identified Mosaic as a browser, correct, sir?
Yes.
Do you know what Cello is?
No.
Were you informed in or about June of 1994 that people within Microsoft did not currently plan on including something like Mosaic or Cello in Windows 95?
Quite the opposite.
So it's your testimony that this is just not accurate? Is that what you're saying?
What are you referring to?
Well, I'm referring to this document. And what this document says is, quote, "We do not currently plan on any other client software, especially something like Mosaic or Cello." And you understand this to mean that they're not currently planning on including something like Mosaic or Cello in Chicago, correct, sir?
Well, I guess I'd read the whole email message if I was really interested, and I've gone ahead and done that. So you're asking, you're trying to take that sentence just out by itself, or you're trying to get me to talk about what the email itself is saying?
What I'm trying to do is to get you to tell me whether, as you understand it, Mr. Sinofsky is writing here on June 10, 1994, that, at least insofar as he is concerned, there is not a plan to include something like Mosaic or Cello in Chicago. Is that what he's saying here?
No.
That's not what he's saying. Let's go to the previous paragraph. He says, "I think it is really important that we stick to the basic facts of the situation and not overcommit Chicago or Microsoft in any way. The Chicago message is all the plumbing you need to connect to the internet, which translates to TCP/IP stacks, SLIP and PPP, and the basic FTP and Telnet clients. Our built-in client and our NT server will also support internet protocols such as SMTP and MIME. He then continues in the very next sentence, "We do not currently plan on any other client software, especially something like Mosaic and Cello." Are any of the things that Mr. Sinofsky indicates here that are going to be included in Chicago software that you would consider to be browser software?
The email I'm looking at talks about the Chicago message, and this is he seems to be talking about what we're saying externally about the Chicago project. This email doesn't include anyone who's involved in deciding what's in Chicago, and so he's talking about the Chicago message here.
Mr. Gates, my question is, where whether any of the software that Mr. Samowski identifies here as being included in Chicago is software that you consider to be browser software.
Where do you see the phrase included in Chicago?
Well, sir, when he says the Chicago message is all the plumbing you need to connect to the internet, which translates to TCP, IP stacks, SLIP, and PPP, and the basic FTP and Telnet clients, our built-in mail client and our NT server will also support internet protocols such as SMTP and MIME. When he says those things, do you believe that he's saying that those are going to be included in Chicago?
No, he's saying the Chicago message is.
So what you're saying is that when he says the Chicago message is that, he doesn't mean that you're going to include in Chicago what he then lists? Is that what you're saying?
Saying that's the Chicago message may imply that.
Yes, but that's what I'm asking you. What I'm asking you is whether you read this document as saying that TCP IP stacks, SLIP, and PPP, and the basic FTP and Telnet clients are going to be included in Chicago. Do you read it that way?
No.
Okay. And when he says our built-in mail client and our NT server will also support internet protocols such as SMTP and MIME, do you believe that he's saying that your built-in mail client and your NT server are going to come out with Chicago?
Certainly not.
Okay. And when he says we do not currently plan on any other client software, especially something like Mosaic or Cello. And then in the next sentence says, Chicago is investigating possibilities, but nothing at all is public, and DRG should not be talking to anyone with the thought of including them in the box or resource kit. That is purely for Chicago NT to deal with, though any interesting packages should, of course, be brought to everyone's attention. Our plans for offering any sort of connection to the internet are also highly confidential and merely speculative. Do you think when he talks about Mosaic and Cello, he's talking about something for Chicago?
He's talking about the Chicago message. The definition of what would and wouldn't be in Chicago wasn't finally known until Chicago shipped. Certainly at this time, we've made the decision to do our best to include the browsing functionality if we could. We weren't saying that as part of the Chicago message.
Mr. Gates, you've testified that you never saw this until the last 6 months, correct?
That's right.
Who showed you this?
I'm not sure. I think maybe the government cited it. I'm not sure.
Well, who showed it to you?
I'm not sure anyone showed it to me. I think the government cited it in something.
Well, the government cited it. Do you read through the government's papers and just pick out sites and go find them for yourself?
No.
I didn't think so. So somebody had to go pick this out and show it to you, correct, sir?
I'm not sure, other than in attorney-client meetings, when I've seen the entire mail message.
Okay. Let me show you a document that has been marked as Exhibit 386. The second item here purports to be a message from you to a number of people dated April 6, 1995. Do you see that?
Yes.
Did you send this message on or about April 6, 1995?
I don't remember sending it, but I don't have any reason to doubt that I did.
Now, attached to this message, as this was produced to us, I believe, by Microsoft,
is a two-page document headed Netscape as Netware. Do you see that?
I see a three-page document, yes.
Yes, three pages. Pages 35, 58 through 35, 60. Have you seen this before?
I don't remember seeing it before.
Now, the title of this three-page attachment is Netscape as Netware, and there's a footnote that says, the analogy here is that the major sin that Microsoft made with Netware was to let Novell offer a better, actually smaller and faster with simpler protocol, client for networking. They got to critical mass and can now evolve both client and server together. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or about April of 1995, was Microsoft concerned with Netscape getting to what is referred to here as critical mass?
I don't know what Paul meant using that word.
Do you have any understanding at all about what Mr. Moritz meant when he referred to a competitor getting, quote, to critical mass, close quote?
He seems to be using those phrases with respect to Netware or Novell, but I'm not sure what he means by it.
But he's also using it with respect to Netscape by analogy. That's, in fact, what he says. Is that not so, sir?
No, it's not clear that the term critical mass is part of the analogy, is it? It's not to me.
Okay. This document is about Netscape. It's not about Novell, correct, sir?
I didn't write the document. The document appears to refer to Netscape as Netware as its title.
Yes.
And so Novell is talked about in this document, and a lot of things seem to be talked about here. Do you want me to read it?
Well, if you have to answer any of my questions. Netware is something from Novell, correct, sir?
Fact.
What?
Fact.
Does that mean yes?
Yes.
And what Mr. Moritz here is doing is analogizing Netscape to Netware, correct?
That's kind of confusing because Netscape's the name of a company and Netware is the name of a product. And so I'm not sure what he's doing. Usually you think of analogizing two products to each other or two companies to each other. But he appears to be analogizing a company to a product, which is a very strange thing.
Well, sir, in April of 1995, insofar as Microsoft was concerned, was Netscape primarily a browser company?
No.
It was not?
No.
All right, sir. In this document, you understand that what Mr. Moritz is saying is that Microsoft should not make the same mistake with Netscape's browser as it did with Novell's Netware?
I'd have to read the document. Do you want me to?
If you need to read the document to answer that question, Mr. Gates, go ahead and do so. And when you've finished, if you have the question in mind, please answer it. If you don't have the question in mind, we'll read it back. And the question is, do you understand that what this document is saying is that Microsoft should not make the same mistake with Netscape's browser as it did with Novell's Netware,
and you can read any portion that you want, but I am particularly interested in the heading, which says, quote, Netscape as netware, and the footnote right off that heading that says, quote, the analogy here is that the major sin that Microsoft made with netware was to let Novell offer a better, actually smaller and faster, but simply protocol client for networking. They got to critical mass and can now avow both client and server together.
Are you asking me a question about the whole document?
No, I didn't think I was. I thought it was possible for you to answer my question by looking at the title and that first footnote.
Oh, I thought you asked me what the document was about.
I think it's possible to answer the question by looking at the heading and that footnote. My question is whether, as you understand it, what Mr. Moritz is saying here is that Microsoft should not make the same mistake with Netscape's browser as it did with Novell's netware.
Does it say mistake somewhere?
All I'm asking you is whether you interpret this that way.
Does it say mistake somewhere?
Mr. Gates, we have had a conversation about how I ask the questions and you give the answers.
I don't see where it says mistake.
It doesn't say mistake. It says major sin. And if you think that major sin is something different than a mistake, you can answer my question that no, that's not what you think Mr. Moritz means. My question is clear. You can answer it yes, no, or I can't tell.
What is the question?
My question is whether, as you understand what Mr. Moritz is saying here, is he saying that Microsoft should not make the same mistake with Netscape's browser as it did with Novell's netware?
No, I think he's saying something else.
Okay. Do you think that when Mr. Moritz uses the term major sin that Microsoft made, he's referring to what he thinks is a mistake?
Probably.
Okay. Let me ask you to look next at a document marked as Exhibit 387. This is an email from Brad Silverberg, or it's a message from Brad Silverberg. I don't know whether it's an email or not. Dated April 12, 1995 at 12:53 p.m. Have you ever seen this message before, sir?
No.
The first paragraph says, I have spoken to Paul Moritz, and he is in agreement that we should get our internet client distributed as broadly as possible, as soon as possible. Did you understand that that was the view of Mr. Moritz in April of 1995?
I think it probably was.
And when reference is made here to Microsoft's internet client, do you understand that to be Internet Explorer?
I think at the time of this document, it meant O'Hare.
And what did O'Hara become?
Became Internet Explorer plus some other things.
Let me ask you to look next at a document marked as Exhibit 388. The second email or message here is a message dated April 12, 1995 at 12:54 p.m. from Paul Moritz to you and a number of other people. Correct, sir?
That's what it appears to be.
And the subject is the 3-year plan thoughts draft. Correct?
That's it, the subject.
Did you receive this message on or about April 12, 1995?
I don't remember seeing it, but I have no reason to doubt that I did.
Now, attached here is something set that is titled 3-year plan follow-up, parentheses, draft, close parentheses. Do you see that?
Yes.
Did you receive this at or about the time indicated of April 12, 1995?
I'm not sure.
Let me ask you to look at the page that bears in the bottom right-hand corner the Microsoft Docker production stamp ending 7193. And in particular, the portion that is under the heading shell/browser. Do you have that?
Yeah.
And it says here, quote, we should get a view as to what will be handled by the Win97 shell and what will not. And if not, how is the needed extension integrated into the Win97 environment? Close quote. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Were you told in or about April of 1995 that one of the issues in terms of planning that was needed to be decided was what would be handled by the Win97 shell and what would not be?
I'm not sure what's meant by Win97 shell here. I don't remember seeing that at the time.
Well, you know what a shell is in this context, do you not, sir?
Yes.
And you recognize Win97 as a reference to what ultimately became Windows 98. Do you not, sir?
No. The fact that we use a name like that before we've decided what's in a product doesn't mean that when we used that name back then, it referenced the things that eventually got into the product.
Let me be sure if I understand that last answer. Was Win97 a reference that was used within Microsoft to refer to what ultimately became Windows 98?
It was a term that was used to refer to a project. When it was used, none of us knew either what would be in the project or what it would be called. So anytime you see that reference, you can't assume it's a reference to the things that eventually became Windows 98. All you know is they're referring to the next project related to enhancing Windows.
Let me ask the question this way. Was the project that was internally described within Microsoft as Win97 the project that ultimately resulted in Windows 98?
I believe so.
Okay. Mr. Gates, let me show you a document marked as Government Exhibit 390.
Let me go back.
The first message here reports to be a message to you and Mr. Moritz and Mr. Alchin on February 24, 1997 at 11:07 p.m. Do you see that?
Yes.
And it talks about a focus group report, and it says that most of the people in the focus group were Navigator users. And then it goes on to say about those Navigator users, quote, they said they would not switch, would not want to download IE4 to replace their Navigator browser. However, once everything is in the OS and right there, integrated into the OS, in their face, so to speak, then they said they would use it because there would be no more need to use something separate, close quote. You see that?
Yes.
Do you recall being told that in or about February 1997?
No.
Okay. Let me ask you to turn to the fifth page of this exhibit. And this is a original message dated February 24, 1997 at 10:38 a.m. Also relating to the Memphis focus groups report.
It's an enclosure to the message above.
It's an enclosure to the message above. That is, what you have is first a message dated February 24, 1997 at 11:07 p.m. that went to you, Mr. Moritz, and Mr. Alchin, and then you have another message that was an enclosure to the message that went to you and others, correct?
Yes.
So you would have received the second message when you received the message that was addressed to you, correct?
If I did, which I told you I don't remember, but I have no reason to doubt that I did.
Right. The next to last paragraph on the fifth page of the exhibit, the one that ends with the Microsoft document production stamp 8179. Do you have that page?
Yes.
The next last paragraph of this material that was sent to you on February 24th, 1997, if in fact it was, on page 5, says, quote, "It seems clear that it will be very hard to increase browser market share on the merits of IE4 alone. It will be more important to leverage the OS asset to make people use IE instead of Navigator." You see that?
Yes.
Were you told that in or about February of 1997?
Out of the context of this memo?
Well, first, let's ask, were you told that in the context of this memo?
Those sentences seem to appear in this memo that's talking about some features. It wasn't a product demo, but some features, including WebView, that they showed to some end users.
Let me try to break the question down. First, do you recall being told, in any context, in or about February of 1997, quote, "It seems clear that it will be very hard to increase browser market share on the merits of IE4 alone. It will be more important to leverage the OS asset to make people use IE instead of Navigator."
Those words?
Let me begin with that. Do you recall being...
No.
...communicated those words? In or about February of 1997?
I said no.
Do you recall being communicated those words at any time, whether in or about February 1997 or any other time?
Isn't that what I just answered?
Perhaps you did. I thought the first answer related to February 1997, but if you're telling me you don't recall ever being told that, I just want that clarified for the record.
Those words, no.
Do you recall being told in substance what is stated here? At any time. In the language that I have just quoted.
Now, that's a self-contradictory question. You can't say you're asking me something that's in substance and then say in the language you just quoted. That's completely contradictory.
Well, sir, if you don't understand the question and you can't answer it, all you have to do is say so.
Well, I understand that the question is contradictory to itself.
Well, this document that purports to have gone to you, sir, says, "It seems clear that it will be very hard to increase browser market share on the merits of IE4 alone. It will be more important to leverage the OS asset to make people use IE instead of Navigator." Do you recall ever being told or ever receiving a communication that said in substance what is reflected there?
No.
All right. Let me show you Exhibit 591, or I guess it's Exhibit 391. This purports to be a message to you dated April 18th, 1995, to you and other people. Did you receive this message in or about April of 1995?
I don't remember receiving it, but I have no reason to doubt that it was sent to me.
Let me, ask you to, look at the bottom of the, first page, the next to last paragraph, the, sentence that begins, quote, "This does not mean that Netscape needs to be a direct competitor." Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you recall discussions in or about April of 1995 about whether or not Netscape would or would not be a direct competitor of Microsoft?
I'm sure there was some discussion about Netscape and the whole internet phenomena, and particularly what that meant about the business Nathan was in charge of, which was Marvel. I don't remember specifically if we figured out whether they would or wouldn't be a competitor or what they were doing.
Do you recall communications within Microsoft in or about April of 1995 about what might be done to be sure that Netscape did not become a direct competitor of Microsoft?
No.
Do you recall any communications within Microsoft in or about April of 1997 relating to what Microsoft might do to influence whether or not Netscape became a direct competitor of Microsoft?
No.
Do you recall any discussions within Microsoft at any time, or any communications within Microsoft at any time, relating to what Microsoft might do to influence whether Netscape became a direct competitor of Microsoft?
No.
Okay. Let me ask you to look next at an exhibit marked as Government Exhibit 392. The second item here purports to be a message from you to Paul Moritz and Brad Silverberg with copies to a number of other people, dated January 28, 1997 at 10:34 a.m. Do you see that?
Yes.
Did you send this message to Mr. Moritz and Silverberg and the others on or about January 28, 1997?
I don't remember doing so, but I have no reason to doubt that I did.
You say that, quote, "There has been," or at the beginning of this document, the very beginning of the document, you say, quote, "There has recently been an exchange on email with people in the office group about Office and HTML. In one piece of mail, people were suggesting that Office had to work equally well with all browsers, and that we shouldn't force Office users to use our browser. This is wrong, and I wanted to correct this," close quote. You see that?
Yes.
Did you send that message to Mr. Moritz and Mr. Silverberg and others in or about January of 1997?
You already asked that, and I told you I don't remember sending it.
Did you convey the substance of what is here to Mr. Moritz and Mr. Silverberg in or about January of 1997?
I don't know the time frame But there was a question for very advanced features in Office, had to deal with the fact that older browsers, including our own older browsers, couldn't display the information. And should we therefore display it to no one? Or what should we do about advanced display semantics? And I know in that case, the issue came up about should we support the advanced display semantics at all?
Is it your testimony, Mr. Gates, that that's what you were talking about here?
Absolutely. That's what this message, I mean, if you read it, that's what it's about.
Now, this is a message that you don't recall sending. Is that correct?
I've read it today, but I don't recall sending it. That's right.
But what you're doing is you're testifying under oath that when you say that you should force Office users to use Microsoft's browser, you were talking about what you just described. Is that your testimony?
I don't see that in the message.
Well, you're saying here that Microsoft should force Office users to use Microsoft's browser. Are you not, sir?
No.
Well, sir, you say, quote, in one piece of mail, people were suggesting that Office had to work equally well with all browsers and that we shouldn't force Office users to use our browser. This is wrong, and I wanted to correct this. Is it your testimony under oath that you were not saying that the assertion that you had heard that Microsoft shouldn't force Office users to use Microsoft's browser was wrong?
There's a sentence there that talks about whether Office has to work equally well with all browsers. And because I'm talking about Triton here, Triton was a set of technology we're doing to extend things so that you could work with Office documents that are very rich documents in a new way that no previous browser, including our own previous browsers, was willing to display. And there was a question of whether they should take advantage of those Triton things or not. Some people were questioning whether we should take advantage of those Triton things. And here, I'm making very clear, and all I have to do is read the complete email, I'm saying we should go ahead and take advantage of those Triton things. Now, that's very different than saying that people are forced to use any browser. It's just if you want the best experience in terms of seeing those rich documents, what we are doing in Triton, I thought we should take advantage of.
Now, sir, is it your testimony sitting here under oath that when, in the language that I have quoted, you wrote, this is wrong and I wanted to correct this, relating to the previous sentence in which it said, in one piece of email, people were suggesting that Office had to work equally well with all browsers and that we shouldn't force Office users to use our browser. You were talking about Trident? Is that your testimony?
Well, I think you've mischaracterized my testimony.
Okay. All I'm asking is whether that's your testimony. If you tell me that's not your testimony, we'll go on. Is that what you're telling me, sir?
Are you trying to characterize my previous testimony?
I was trying to see whether we understood your previous testimony.
Your characterization was wrong.
Okay. In the second paragraph of this exhibit, you write, in one piece of mail, people were suggesting that Office had to work equally well with all browsers and that we shouldn't force Office users to use our browser. This is wrong, and I wanted to correct this. Does that statement relate to Triton, sir?
I explained how it relates to Trident.
So your answer is that that relates to Trident. Is that your testimony?
In order to know that, I read the entire piece of email. And upon reading it, I know that what that relates to is whether we should exploit the advanced features of Trident so that the Office works particularly well with a new browser from us with those Trident features.
Mr. Gates, isn't it clear that the discussion
at the end of the memo about Trident is about a different point than the point that we've been talking about?
Absolutely not.
Well, sir, immediately after the paragraph we've been talking about, don't you write, another suggestion in this mail was that we can't make our own unilateral extensions to HTML. I was going to say this was wrong and correct this also. And then you go on to talk about Trident. Isn't that what you wrote here?
I think you've correctly read some of the words in the email. We could go on and read more of the words so that you could understand why what I've told you is correct.
Now, is there anything in here that asserts that forcing Office users to use Microsoft's browser is limited to the Trident situation?
It's clearly about whether Office should emit HTML that takes advantage of Trident and whether that's a good idea or not. That's what this piece of email is about.
Well, if that's all it's about, Mr. Gates, why do you introduce the Trident discussion by saying, another suggestion in this mail is that we can't make our own unilateral extensions to HTML. I was going to say this was wrong and correct this also. Aren't you clearly saying that this is an additional point?
No. You're just trying to misread my email. It talks about Office.
Yes, it certainly does talk about Office. And it talks about forcing Office users to use your browser. Correct, sir?
No.
It doesn't? When you say that somebody is saying that you've seen an email, people saying that we shouldn't force Office users to use our browser and that this is wrong, you're not saying that you should use Office to force users to use your browser? Is that what you're saying?
That was the most circular thing I've ever heard.
Okay, I think it was pretty circular because I think what was going on here is
pretty circular. You continue to not read the sentence and look at the piece of email. The question in this email is whether Office should work equally well with all browsers.
Well, now,
and it's talking about, if you want to look further to understand it,
how
it says
about
we need to have TIG.